Welcome to the CSIS podcast, a look at the week's news and foreign policy through the eyes of the experts at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I'm Colm Quinn. This week, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, better known as Pope Francis, made his first trip to the US, riding a wave of popularity. He met with President Obama at the White House, addressed a joint session of Congress, and even whizzed by CSIS in his Fiat 500 while on the way to our neighbours at St. Matthew's Cathedral in DC. For many, he has revived the Pope as statesman idea, with influence in the latest restoration of diplomatic ties between the US and Cuba, and taking a progressive position on global warming. To discuss the future impact this Pope may have on international affairs, we turn to Juan Zarate, who serves on the board of the Vatican's Financial Intelligence Authority and is a senior advisor at CSIS.
I think the fact that the Pope stayed true to his core message about service to the poor, the role of not just the church but politicians in ensuring that their work is in service of the people, and that the fact that that has been the core message of this Pope and of the church, and that that in many ways hasn't been diluted by distractions or even politics, despite the attempts to politicize the Pope's visit or to interpret it in political terms. And so I think the simplicity of the message and the strength of that message and the message of love and service, which has really been the hallmark of this Pope and whose humility has really continued to shine as he's gone from place to place and has been in many ways received like a rock star. The fact is the message has not changed. And I think that's been, to me, the most striking and fundamental part of this visit. In some ways anticipated, but interesting to watch in formation as this Pope visits the United States for the first time.
And it speaks to a lot of people in the political spectrum right now, as the public gravitates towards, say, in the presidential election, certain candidates who reek of authenticity, you know, and it's someone who you know, in the world that seems a little more murky than it used to be, that you know what this person thinks. Do you think that's kind of part of the Pope's appeal?
Absolutely. I think the Pope, obviously, in the Vatican always has a moral voice, but the persona of Pope Francis, with his stress on humility, with his stress on changing the tone of how the church talks about certain issues and opens up debate on other controversial issues, how this Pope has talked about reform and has undertaken that reform, all of that, I think, has brought excitement, not just within the Catholic community and the Holy See, but also to non-Catholics. And I've talked to lots of my friends who are non-Catholics who say, we love this Pope. We love what he stands for and the message that he brings. And I think part of it goes to the heart of your question, which is the world feels adrift, feels like in many ways it's on fire and moving from crisis to crisis. And I think the world is in search of an authentic moral voice that can speak with humility and in a way that is constructive. And I think that's what this Pope represents. And I think he represents that not just to Catholics, but to non-Catholics alike.
We've already seen an impact on the world stage where, you know, we're talking about the deal between the U.S. and Cuba. It's apparently very much facilitated by the Vatican. There seems to be a more of a desire to go on the world stage and for the Vatican to make an impact. What should we expect from this kind of going forward then?
Well, I think one of the interesting messages from the Pope, which I heard personally when he issued his homily at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception there in Washington, the canonization mass, by the way, of Father Junipero Serra, one of the key messages from the Pope was go forth. Go forth into the world and witness to the message of Jesus and the Church and engage the world. And I think this is a Pope who has demonstrated in his very persona as well as in the Vatican's policies that he is going to engage the world. He is going to engage in joy and love, and he's going to challenge the world. And I think that's reflected in some of the foreign policy. It's not new to this Pope. Certainly, Pope John Paul II was incredibly active internationally. active on issues not just of Cold War, but also on the dignity of individuals and the role of the church in the developing world, for example. So I think this is a church that and a pope that wants to engage the world and wants to find pathways to peace and to greater understanding and dialogue. And I think you've seen that with the U.S.-Cuba rapprochement, where the Vatican served as that interlocutor. You may have seen some of the effects in the recently announced deal between Colombia and the FARC rebel and terrorist movement, where it seems to be that there is a breakthrough. And it could be that the Vatican has had some influence directly or indirectly on that. So you're going to see a church and a pope that will be engaged not just in the moral life of the Catholic Church, but in the day-to-day life of the world on these key issues of war and peace.
And does that say something about how politics is going right now, and that it's increasingly maybe these non-state actors who maybe have not been sullied by politics don't have to compromise, that people are going to have to turn to a lot more? You look at, obviously, the Pope is one example. I mean, even Cote d'Ivoire having a civil war, you know, the famous footballer Didier Drogba was important in solving that crisis. Is it saying something about what people are looking for and how people are trusting their institutions maybe these days?
Absolutely, and it's something that we've written about at CSIS, I've written about in my book, and we've contemplated, which is the fact that the 21st century is really a time of great power devolution, where non-state actors and transnational networks have enormous power, and we've seen that and concentrated on that on the negative side, the role of terrorist groups, organized crime, criminality, but also the fact that non-state actors can affect positively, can have an enormous impact. And the voice of the Pope, the role of celebrities, we've seen Hollywood actors and producers take on major international issues, whether it's Matt Damon in Water or George Clooney in Sudan or Catherine Bigelow in the poaching crisis. These are all important voices that bring moral weight, credibility, resources often to issues. And you've seen this even recently, of course, with the migration crisis, with an Egyptian billionaire offering to buy an island to help house the refugees, and the role of philanthropists like Bill and Melinda Gates and others on global health issues. And so the reality is we live in a period of super-empowered individuals and networks that can have enormous impact, especially to solve problems that are often unsolvable through traditional means.
To go back to Pope Francis, I mean, with John Paul II, it was seemed to be quite clear that his values and the values of the time aligned very closely with what the U.S. was looking to do, certainly in the Solidarity Movement in Poland. Can you see some sort of a doctrine from Pope Francis as to what the goals will be? Certainly climate was mentioned, immigration was mentioned. Are we starting to see some sort of a policy framework coming out?
I think inevitably there's a policy framework that emerges from core central themes that the church and that the Pope is expounding and reinforcing. The dignity of life and individuals, the need for societies, economies to actually deal with the real needs of its population, for our organizations and institutions and processes to actually lift up individuals and to help the most poor and isolated amongst ourselves. All of that has enormous policy implications and framework. Now, many will try to interpret those themes and those imperatives from the church as inherently political, and there are political ramification from them, but the Pope, I think, is drawing not from a political doctrine or from a desire to be allied with one country or bloc or another. He is really, I think, trying to drive the idea that people matter, and he stressed this in his visit to Cuba, that being blindly led by and faithful to ideas for the sake of ideas does not necessarily serve God, the church, or people, and that It's a focus on the dignity and service to people that really is the essence of the Catholic faith and the Catholic mission. And I think all of the policies, all the encyclicals, everything that comes from this Pope and the Vatican will reflect that theme.
And that was Juan Zarate, bringing us the end of the CSS podcast for this week. For more, you can visit css.org and follow us on Twitter @CSIS. I'm Colin Quinn. Thanks for listening.